First, you probably know the bad news already. Mint has shut down. But here's the good news. There's a better alternative. Monarch Money. That's right. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. As a finance nerd, you would assume that I have my money game all together. Well, shocker, I didn't. Until Monarch Money. Monarch Money allowed me to easily see what is going on with my finances, help me get a better handle on my spending, budgets, and more. It's my go-to app every day, more so than my bank, because I can quickly see where I am with my budgets and spending, allowing me to invest more and spend time on things I want to do. It's my GPS for money. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now you get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/beginners. Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint and keep all your tags and categories. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. Change the layout of your dashboard, toggle between light and dark mode, create custom budgets and notifications, set up automatic rules for transactions and notifications, and more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving the product. They release updates every 2 weeks and allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. In fact, Monarch Money is one of the first to bring you direct Apple Card, Apple Cash, and savings syncing with the latest iOS 17.4 update. Now you can sync your wallet directly for seamless budgeting. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's a top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/beginners. That's monarchmoney.com/beginners for your extended 30-day free trial. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I'd pay for vacations with whatever was in my wallet, but I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
You're tuned in to the Investing for Beginners podcast. Finally, step-by-step premium investment guidance for beginners. Led by Andrew Sather and Dave Ahern, to decode industry jargon, silence crippling confusion, and help you overcome emotions by looking at the numbers. Your path to financial freedom starts now.
All right, folks, well, welcome to Investing for Beginners podcast. This is episode 136. Tonight, Andrew and I are going to discuss some ideas that Andrew had. He had this great idea that we would talk about what investors know, which is nothing. Forecasting the future and what analysts really mean when they think about what's going on in the future and how we really don't know what could be coming. And if we do, well, then you're smarter than us. So without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Andrew, and Andrew's going to go ahead and take us away. All right, Andrew.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. I basically have four bullet points on this, just kind of different examples, because something about this topic is really kind of pressing and I feel it needs to be said. At the same time, I think it's very inspiring and it can help certainly for somebody who's a value investor, somebody who's trying to be a contrarian. When you're trying to buy stocks at a discount to their intrinsic value, you're going to have to go against a lot of maybe adversity is not the right word, but you know, you have to go against the grain. You have to go against what the popular opinion is on the stock. And, you know, sometimes the popular opinion is right and sometimes it's really, really wrong. And so if we can kind of look at the stocks we're looking at today and maybe parse out, here are some reasons why this stock is probably undervalued. Maybe they're good reasons. And here are some reasons that are probably just filler talk, you know, just like, I think a lot of times when a stock goes down, everybody wants to come up with reasons why that is. And so if the narrative is making up a reason, well, it shouldn't keep you away from a stock that's a great business just because everybody thinks a certain way about it. So the very first example I want to share. So the first example I want to share is Lam Research. This is one that I've shared in the past where it's been by far my best performing stock I've ever bought. And I might have talked about why I recently sold it. That could be a whole topic within itself for a whole episode. But I just want to really touch on, especially with the way that the stock market has gone lately. We're recording this in January of 2020, and for the past 2-3 months, certainly for the month of January, it's just the narrative has been tech. Like, as long as you are long technology stocks, it seems like everybody and their best friend is making money in tech, and all you have to do is own like Facebook or Apple. Any of the tech stocks have done just extremely, extremely well. That's easy to remember because it's such a recent development. But while it seems that tech is always strong in a bull market, I put bull market in quotes because that's hard to define when you're in one. But while tech seems to always be strong, that was not the case in 2015, 2016, and certainly when I bought into Lam Research. And so, you know, I've talked about the story about how Lam went from something like 1.5 to something like 7 or 8 in a price to book ratio. And there were reasons behind why it was so cheap. So if you go way back into the archives, this was the 7th issue I ever did for the e-letter. And I talked about why I bought Lam Research. And I was also talking about some of the developments in some of the related stocks regarding that. So there were a lot of different stocks in the technology space that had dropped. One that was very, very notable was Western Digital because it fell 14.93%. And so there were these big fears at the time of a PC slowdown. And it all across the board, it just seemed, I talk about this in the issue, and I talk about some of the technology behind it with Moore's Law. If any of you are technology nerds, you're familiar with that one. And so there were just a lot of slowdowns and the way kind of tech works, right? You have slowdowns and maybe technological advancements, slowdowns in innovation, or you have an oversupply of certain components within industries, and that can have a ripple effect. And so as one tech stock goes, maybe 3 others go down with it. And so that was the landscape. And there were a lot of people, if you really think about where were we in 2015, it seemed like, at least the way I remember it, it seemed like, okay, how many more of these iPhones are they going to come out with, right? It's like, you know, we're at, I don't know, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever. It just seemed like, all right, we're starting to get over this cycle. Same thing with computers, same thing with consoles, same thing, again, with phones. Just a lot of the technology just seemed like it was regurgitated and like there was just nothing new. And so at the time, you know, there's not much to be excited about. And so a lot of the stocks didn't really get bid up like we see today. There were also recession fears back then. I remember people saying, oh, you know, we've had a bull market since 2009. We're by 2016 or 2017, you know, we'll have matched the bull market of 2000 to 2008. And so maybe that's, you know, that's coming up soon. So we should be cautious with our money. Just a lot of different ideas that may or may not have merit, but they caused some of these tech stocks to trade at very low valuations. And so for investors who had their, what do you call it, the little detectors up, right? If you had your radar on and you're looking for these stocks that are deals and the ones that are trading with low valuations, then you are, you know, picking these stocks when they're not when people are not excited about it, they're not excited about this technology, they're not excited about the profitability, they're not excited about the future, and they're not excited about growth. And then, you know, you fast forward to where it is today, where it was a year ago, and all of a sudden you turn around and you blink and the whole story had changed. And all of a sudden you could have had a lot of money if you were invested in certain different stocks. So that, I think, is a good kind of first example of how investors can really get excited or very pessimistic on how they feel about a company or an industry. And that can change very quickly. And, you know, Wall Street will kind of move first and then the story will change later. So if you're always following the story, you're always going to be behind. And so that's why looking at the numbers, looking at the financials, and looking at valuations can really give you a step ahead, because then you can get in before these stories change. And as long as you're investing in good businesses, you're investing for the long term, it doesn't really matter where the story goes, as long as at some point your business that you own is continuing to grow and continue to compound its earnings, you're probably going to be in a good spot.
Let's face it. A vibrant sex life contributes significantly to your overall happiness and confidence, but sometimes your hectic schedule doesn't leave room for doctor visits. That's where Hims steps in. With their convenient and discreet online platform, you can receive treatment for erectile dysfunction from the comfort and privacy of your own home. No more waiting rooms, no more awkward conversations, just a simple, direct path to treatment that works around your life, not interrupts it. Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and 100% online. No uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a series of questions on their site, and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you for free. No insurance is needed. If ED is getting you down, it's time you join hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/investing. That's hims.com/investing for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/investing. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription needed. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
The next thing, and this is not one that I personally experienced, but this is one that I've observed from reading books, reading some people online, and getting some insight into some of the other big narratives of the day. Back in 2006, 2007, there was this huge, huge narrative that we were about to run out of oil. And, you know, it sounds silly now, but it's, of course, it sounds silly after all of the drilling we've had the past 2-3 years. But there was a serious concern 10, 15 years ago. It seemed like, you know, as the oil deposits kind of get lower as they're drilling deeper and deeper and not finding as much oil, then you start to think, well, you know, the earth has to be tapped out sometime, right? And so this was a huge concern. And if you go back a couple episodes, we talked about just like a big intro into commodities and basically how supply and demand will set the price of a commodity and be a big factor in that, right? So when it came to oil, if you think there was these fears of peak oil, if we do run out of oil, then the price of oil is going to shoot up because there will be less supply. And so there were a lot of price targets for oil being really high. There were just a lot of experts and scientists and analysts and gurus and just all these people who were saying that based on the trends we're experiencing, and you know, you can look at data back then and you can always do this with data. You know, you can look and you can say, well, here's the path we've gone on. We project this into the future. This is what we're going to see. And it's going to be some catastrophic, intense, huge thing. We're going to see, shortage. We're going to see a spike in the price. All of these things were predicted to be happening. And so that really affected how some investors allocated their capital. It turned out that instead of the world running out of oil, some smart person, some genius figured, well, we've been drilling downwards for this oil. Why don't we just drill to the side? And so, it's a little more complicated than that, but this innovation came around called fracking. And now we had all this access to new oil. Supplies for oil, the production just went insane. The U.S., we had a big boom in production in the U.S. in the Permian Basin and the Bakken. And so what happened with that is they were able to use the fracking to discover a lot of new oil. And instead of the oil prices rising and some of these energy stocks really taking off, instead the price, if anything, dropped or stayed flat. And so a lot of the sector has not participated in this bull market over the last 10 years because of this factor among many. And so once again, whereas with the first example, Lam Research, we have a narrative. It's kind of produced as Wall Street goes along, and then it might change later. What we had with peak oil was this idea where we're just taking the present, and we're not thinking about that the future has a lot of possibilities, and the future very rarely just continues what has happened recently. And so as investors, this is true whether you're investing in one stock or you're investing in the entire market. And this is true with how we experience the business world on a day-to-day basis. You can't predict everything, and you just don't know what one idea, what one innovation, what one development is really going to change the whole course of a market, an industry, a particular company. And so that's why, while you want to be observant of what's going on now, you don't want to put all your eggs in that basket. You don't want to formulate a strategy where you're just basing it on projections, or you're just basing it on what you can see with your, in front of your fingertips today. You want to also always account for the fact that the future is unpredictable. We just don't know what is going to turn and what's going to change and how life will be different in the future.
Hey you, what's the best way to get started in the market? Download Andrew's free ebook at stockmarketpdf.com. You won't regret it.
So we just don't know what's going to happen. There's so many unpredictable factors that we really need to cater a strategy to account for that, whether it's a positive event or a negative event. And so we need to always keep that in mind. And hopefully you can tell that this is why a lot of the principles we teach, a lot of the basics and the fundamentals that we really try to pound into your head, that's a big reason why too, because yes, you have the narrative, but yes, you also have the unknown, and we need to think about that. The last thing, I know I said four, I don't know, the third one's really just me patting myself on the back. I guess I could spare a minute or two to pat myself on the back again. One just real quick example of another stock where the narrative was really, really, it's just funny how it changes. Disney, this was another one. If you go back in the archives, I bought it back in 2016. The whole story was how cable TV was going to die, and it was dying, and we could see it, right? You could see the numbers with less and less people tuning in to live TV, more and more people streaming. And the stock was really taking a hit, and you know, viewership for ESPN was dropping, and then the stock would drop because Disney owns ESPN. So, you know, back then they weren't, nobody was thinking about the fact that because Netflix was coming in and really taking a lot of market share from not only Disney, but all the major cable corporations, nobody considered the idea that, well, I guess Disney could do what Netflix is doing. But, you know, now we're listening to this now in 2020. I think this kind of encompasses both of those ideas that I first presented, right, with the narrative changing and then also this idea that an innovation could really change the future. So the same with Disney. Back then, it sounded ludicrous. How could anybody compete with Netflix? And now Disney's coming out with, you know, Disney came out with Disney Plus. The Mandalorian was a huge hit. NBC is coming out with this thing they're calling Peacock. And then there's one other streaming service that I can't remember. There might be one more. And it just seems like now cable TV is morphing into this a la carte streaming thing. And instead of channels, now we have streaming apps, right? So now that all has played out, you fast forward 3-4 years, now the narrative has shifted from, oh, Disney's in a dying business, and now all of a sudden Wall Street sees Disney in a huge growth business, right? And now it's like money that Disney is burning on this. It's just comical, right? It doesn't matter if you burn money, it just matters how you do it and what the story is behind it. So that's where we've seen ourselves today. And so again, another example of a stock used to be cheap. There used to be a story behind it of why it was cheap, but you continue to, even something as small as this, like a 4-year period, you take those dividends. Generally, dividends are higher, and that dividend yield you'll get is higher when the stock is hated. So now you have, like, not only do you get a good chance at having gains because the stock is hated and the valuations are low, but now you also have a chance for higher gains because you're starting with a higher dividend yield that's going to create a larger drip, and you're just getting that drip to happen much larger than, you know, if you were to buy a stock that was at a very low yield and, you know, had super high valuations, whether you look at earnings or book value or anything like that. So like for the example of Disney, you know, I remember when I bought them, I think they had like a 1-2% yield. It didn't seem like much compared to today. It's a good amount. But in those 4 years, you know, my return went from, if you just look at the return from when I bought the stock to when, where it is today, it's somewhere around 10-10.5% per year, with the drip that I've had over those same 4 years, my return's around 11.5%. So just a small, you know, we talk about drip, and I've talked in the past about how over decades it can make a huge, huge difference. I gave some examples, and you can definitely go in the archives if you want to get excited about drip. But even in just such a short time period, 4 years, and we're talking about, you know, really 1% over outperformance. I've talked again how that can really become hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars over a very long time period. And so you're already seeing that outperformance in the stock over such a short time. And so I think that's just another testament to how buying into a hated environment, pessimistic environment, bearish environment can be good, as long as, you know, as long as the stock has a good balance sheet, as long, you know, Disney has a great brand, right? Disney had, it was not losing money. It still had profits. It still had good sales. So, you know, I made sure of that. And then moving forward, you just buy some of these stocks, and you don't know what it's going to be that's going to make them take off. But you believe in not only the business, but the people who are working in the business. And so if you just know that, just because a business is having a rough patch, there are people who work in that business who are going to do amazing things, and that can really set off a lot of prosperity for the investors, for all the people involved. And you just have to believe in that. And I think that's why it's great to be optimistic. It's great to, you know, instead of taking what we see in the world today and projecting that and thinking that the world will never change, well, it can change, and it can change for something good. And that can definitely happen within these stocks and these businesses, and it can unlock a lot of gains. The last thing I just felt led to say this thing, and I hope there's maybe one or two people out there who really need to hear it. But I know with, you know, we talk about how the present is now and what the future will hold. And I think as a podcast that talks about investing, we talk a lot about the future. I also know that being an investor, there's more than just picking stocks. A lot of it has to do with your personal finances. And hopefully we've stressed that a lot through the various episodes. Something that can be very discouraging as you're going along with your investing journey is that life can really come and throw you a curveball when you least expect it. And so I think it's when you get stuck in a place financially where things did not go as you planned and things just, you know, seem to be coming at you at all angles. Maybe you're usually a financially responsible person and you're getting these bills that pop up out of nowhere. You're getting this debt that's piling up, and you know that debt should not be piling up. And, you know, for one reason or the other, just financially you're going backwards, and it seems like you're digging yourself into a hole when all you want to be doing is pushing forward and you know, getting your finances and getting that compounding interest going, and all of those things. And all that I'm going to say is that in my short time being alive, I've seen a lot of different stages and a lot of different financial journeys and I don't know, just a lot of different conditions and situations. And at least personally, from what I've experienced, it can be very hard to dig out of a financial hole, and it can seem like a never-ending struggle. But at the same time, I think there can be opportunity in the future, and there can be, you know, maybe not a business innovation, but some door that just needs to be knocked on that it's just impossible to see right now. But I think, you know, that's why building the habits, having the right mindset, maybe finding some inspiration and encouragement when you feel down, and understanding that the path to financial freedom is not a perfectly straight line. It never was. And I'm sure if you talk to any financial free person, any entrepreneur, they will tell you that same thing. And you just look at the stock market, you look at the stocks, none of them go up in a perfect straight line either. There's peaks and there's valleys. So keep that in mind with your own finances. Maybe you're sick of the finance stuff because all it does is remind you of where you're at now. But understand that what's going on now is not what the future means all the time. And so there could be something out there that's up in the future that you haven't even considered yet, but it's developing. So hopefully that's inspiring for some of you, whether it's your portfolio that's taken a beating, which I hope not, because we've had a great market recently. Whether it's that, whether it's your personal finances, or whether it's just that stock pick you bought last month that's driving you nuts, whatever it is, just remember that it's easy to get stuck in a narrative, but it's prudent to be wise about how the end result could become or probably will become. So just keep fighting the fight. And I hope that these four bullet points, I hope at least one of them struck home for some of you and helps you out with the stocks and your finances moving forward.
All right, folks, that's going to wrap up our discussion for this evening. I hope you enjoyed our conversation about investors and what we do and don't know about the future and predicting things. So I thought Andrew had some great comments and some great points, and there was a lot to learn from this conversation. So I hope you enjoyed it. If you are enjoying the podcast and would like to give us a review, please go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. That would be great. It helps us rise in the rankings and we can help more people, which is what we're here to do. So without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and sign us off. You guys go out there and invest with a margin of safety, emphasis on a safety. Have a great week and we'll talk to you all next week.
We hope you enjoyed this content. 7 Steps to Understanding the Stock Market shows you precisely how to break down the numbers in an engaging and readable way with real-life examples. Get access today at stockmarketpdf.com. Until next time, have a prosperous day.
The information contained is for general information and educational purposes only. It is not intended for a substitute for legal, commercial, and/or financial advice from a licensed professional. Review our full disclaimer at einvestingforbeginners.com.